You're listening to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. If you're looking for some encouragement, words of hope, and maybe a laugh or two, that's exactly what Richard wants to share with you today. We know life can get pretty busy and complicated, so we're truly grateful you've chosen to take a break and listen to the program. Now, if you're not able to hang out with us for the entire program, you can always pick it back up at our website, richardellistalks.com. In fact, you can find all of Richard's talks right there waiting just for you, richardellistalks.com. So, with today's talk, here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Wolf Blitzer. If you know anything about wolves, and I did a little research on this, they usually don't hunt alone. It's not that they can't, but they hunt in packs, and everybody knows what their job is. And usually, in a lot of cases, the pack will separate into two groups. And one group of the wolves will kind of make a run at the target and drive them to the wolves who are kind of on the backside or over to the side where they run them into, and then they collapse on them. They can take down a buffalo. They can take down things way bigger than them because they're very strategic. They know what they're doing. What is a blitz? Now listen to this definition. If you blitz something, it is an overwhelming, all-out attack, especially a swift ground attack using armored units and air support. Also can be any swift, vigorous attack, barrage, or defeat. In football, what is it? An act or instance of charging directly for the passer, usually, as soon as the ball is snapped. And a last definition I'll give you is to destroy or to demolish. So today we're going to talk about wolf blitzers and how this works and how it can affect the church. Go to Matthew chapter 7, if you would. And as usual, I'm going to try to go left to right here. So Matthew chapter 7, and I'm going to start in verse 1, which even people who may not even believe in God quote this and don't even know they're quoting the Bible sometimes. Says this, judge not that you be not judged. Almost everybody knows that verse because we don't want anybody judging us, right? And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how do you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. So it doesn't say don't try to remove specks. It just says deal with your own stuff first so you can deal with theirs. Do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you in pieces. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Or what man is there among you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. He sums it all up. Sometimes we call that the golden rule. It's do unto others as you would have them do unto you, not before they do unto you, by the way. Enter by the narrow gate. Now this one you should underline. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult, or your translation may say straight is the gate and difficult is the way that leads to life, and there are few who find it. And then the verse I'm trying to get to in this context is verse 15. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing. So outside look, maybe even smell like a sheep, but what's going on inside? They are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. So why do we have small groups? Why do the men get together? Why do the women get together? Why do we keep churning this thing up so that we can kind of figure out who's who? We've had seminary professors show up and they say, well, I'd like to serve. We say, okay, well, just we need you to pick something simple about 6 months and we're gonna watch you. You say, well, he's a seminary professor. I don't care if he's the Pope. We're gonna watch somebody before we cut him loose. Because it is the job of the leadership of a church and it is a job as the leadership in a family to make sure people are okay. And so we meet, just so you'll understand, the small groups that meet, you don't just start up a small group. The men that lead those groups, we meet with once a month. We spend a few hours together. And some of it is not saying, what are you teaching out there? It's saying, how are you doing? To make sure they're taken care of and then know what they're teaching so that you're protected and that we don't have false prophets who sneak in here and try to hijack a bunch of sheep and lead them astray or worse. Matthew chapter 10, go over there. Here at the first part of this chapter, Jesus calls the 12, Judas Iscariot, one of them, and it says there who would betray him. Jump down to verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, do not go into the way of the Gentiles. Do not enter the city of the Samaritans. He's very specific. Don't go anywhere but what? But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Jesus made sure there was zero chance that anyone would misunderstand that when he came first of all to give the Jews a shot at salvation. Don't even go to the Gentiles and Samaritans. They might pick it up along the way. We are going to clearly declare this gospel to them and go to them first. And as you go preaching, he tells him what to say. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Miraculous things happen. Go into a city, they don't listen, dust your feet off, leave. Jump down to verse 13. If the household is worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it's not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whoever will not receive you nor hear your words when you depart from that house or city, shake off the dust from your feet. Assuredly, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in that day of judgment than for that city. And Sodom and Gomorrah took a beating. And then verse 16. Look at what he says to them. Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. He warns them, you are going out like sheep, and I'm sending you into a place where you are in the midst of wolves. And then he says to them, therefore, be wise as serpents and as harmless as doves. Be as wise as a serpent, but as gentle, as harmless as a dove. And that is the tension. So you go out every day in the world. The principle's still the same. He sends us out, sheep, in a world full of wolves, and they are out to take you out. So you have to be wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. Whether you're going off on a mission trip, whether you're going off to the military, whether you're going off to school, you've got to pay attention. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils and scourge you in their synagogues. You'll be brought before governors and kings for my sake, as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you shall speak, for it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. When you get full, you overflow, it just comes. If he's living in you and he's filled your life, you're not going to run out of stuff to say. Tell him what he has done for you. Go to Luke chapter 2. This is an odd verse maybe to read to you, but I'm going to show you something that I didn't even see till literally this week preparing for this. Luke chapter 2, verse 8. And this is the story about the birth of Jesus. And I've read this my whole life and never have seen this. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields. Everybody knows where this is going? And what are they doing? Keeping watch over their flock by night. The angels announced the birth of Jesus to a bunch of shepherds, but it wasn't just any old shepherds. There were a bunch of shepherds who were doing the job. Even the shepherds that were picked are reflective of who this Messiah is. At night, watching their sheep. They get it. They know what they're supposed to be doing. They're on the job. Are you on the job? Now, I wish I could tell you that since the day I got married, or since the day all my kids were born, I have been on the job. The truth of the matter is, I have not, and I have suffered consequence as a result of that. And when things go wrong in my house, and all of a sudden God himself begins to reveal to me my responsibility in what's going on in my house, it is a little overwhelming. Can it be forgiven? Yes. But I am encouraging you, men especially. Women have a tendency to be more diligent and pray for their kids, their husbands, and all that, and men get easily distracted and, well, this or that. Because I have not fallen to my knees enough, sooner or later, you will drop to your knees. I promise you that. So I'm not up here all that telling you, boom, 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 you know, I got it all figured out, and you poor dumb sheep don't know what you're doing. I'm just another one of the dumb sheep trying to figure it out, and it is a painful process. Because there is a real enemy, and he is looking for an open door, get his foot in, get a foothold, get the door open, get in the house, get a stronghold, and take your family out. John chapter 10, we got a few more, I'm almost done. I don't have time to read you this whole chapter, but I end up back in this chapter a lot, maybe because of one or two verses. In this chapter, he uses imagery that they would get, shepherds, sheep, flocks coming in and out, getting the sheep out of the storm, putting them in. And he says, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, he climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. I actually found a deal, some guy in Australia, that they call the sheep whisperer. This guy's got 700 sheep, and his sheepdog was bit by a snake, and he lost his sheepdog. But he had three sheep that he kept so close to him, that trusted him, that what he discovered was because those three followed him, and they were leaders in the flock, that he could literally walk from pasture to pasture, changing, rotating pastures, and those three would tuck in behind him, and all 700 would get behind the three, and bam, he'd walk him into another pasture. Crazy video. 700 sheep following one guy, no sheepdog. Jesus, if you're his sheep, you hear his voice. Part of the reason you know you're his sheep, because when he calls your name, you follow him. He doesn't have to go looking for you. You're tucked in right behind him. If you want to go read Luke 15, there's a story about a lost sheep that takes off. You don't want to be that. It's a good thing to know he'll come looking for you. You know what? Don't make him come looking for you. It's a waste of your time, especially. So keep reading here. And when he brings out his sheep, goes before them, verse 4, sheep follow him, they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. So if you're really a follower of Christ, this is what should be going on. You should know his voice. You shouldn't be able to be picked off by just anybody. But part of the responsibility of the leadership in a church especially is to make sure to find out who you listen to, what's going on, what are you reading, and to see the questions are being asked, to pay attention so you don't get picked off because we care about you. Keep reading. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Who doesn't want that? The thief comes what? I say it over and over. Every bumper sticker in hell says steal, kill, destroy. That is the mission statement of hell. And that is their plan for you, your family, our church, for everything. That is their mission. Steal, kill, destroy. And then Jesus says, but I'm come that you might have life and might have it more abundantly or to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not a contract shepherd, he who is not the shepherd, who does not own the sheep. Now, I don't own the sheep. Now we're talking about Jesus. He owns the sheep. The hireling sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. That's what happens under hirelings. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, and now he's talking about us, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. How cool is that? Therefore, my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. So is he just talking about it? No. This shepherd died on a cross, buried, raised from the dead to rescue us, to save us, to protect us, to make all of this possible. Defeated Satan, the grave, death. He defeated every enemy we've got. You just got to pick to follow him. Acts 20, go there. Let me read a few of these and then we'll scoot. In Acts chapter 20, Paul describes his relationship. Down in verse 17, he's on this missionary journey from Miletus. he sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church. And when they had come to him, he said to them, "You know from the first day that I came to Asia in what manner I always lived among you, serving the Lord with all humility and with many tears and trials which happened to me by the plotting of the Jews, how I kept back nothing that was helpful but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly and from house to house." And that's what we try to do, publicly. Here we are publicly and house to house, testifying to Jews and also to Greeks repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And see, now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Indeed, now I know that you all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, will see my face no more. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among, now he's talking to the elders of this church, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. And then look at this, verse 29. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. The second I leave, they're going to attack. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up speaking perverse things to draw away the disciples after themselves. Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears. Let me just, almost an aside, let's say you're here and you're about to move somewhere, or you're out there listening and you've moved from a city where you were a part of a church. You cannot be exposed. You go off to the Marines, you get enlisted, you get somewhere, you find a body of believers as soon as you possibly can. You go off to college, you find a church. You say, well, I'm cool, I'm just going to look around for like 10 or 20 years like a lot of people do. You're crazy people. Find a church, find a flock. You are safer. You are supposed to not forsake the assembling of yourselves together, which is the manner of some. And the reason it's so important, you say, well, you're just trying to get us to church to give money. And it has nothing to do with that. It's about your own safety, your growth, your encouragement. We need each other. That is the deal. Now see, some people find a church, but what they find is some place with a lot of pillars they can hide behind where nobody can get up in their business. They don't want anybody to know them. Hey, you leave me alone. I'm just here, you know, I'm a seeker. I'll give you a seeker for just a little bit, but 30 years, you got to stop seeking. If you're in a church for 30 years and nobody knows you, you don't know them, you don't know what's up, something is wrong. If you come here and stay here, somebody is going to try to know you. And either you can be known and want to engage in the process as a healthy family, or you're probably not going to make it. This sounds nuts. I'm saying, oh, you're trying to get rid of me. We don't get rid of anybody. You'll get rid of yourself. Because at some point you'll say, I don't want you telling me what to do. You have no right. We have every right not to tell you what to do, but to love you enough to try to help you. Some guy comes in here and says, well, you know, I'm this and this, and man, I'm not married anymore, and I'm just sleeping with everything that moves. Not in here, you're not. It's been a long time. I had a guy show up, and he was a wolf, and he was working the flock. He was trying. I finally said, look, buddy, this ain't happening on my watch. I said, either you figure this out, or you're out of here. You go hunt somewhere else. These women are not yours. Pick you some other field to hunt in. A lot of this is not my notes. I'm going to have like buyer's remorse later, but anyhow. All right, one more before the last one. That was a good save. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I'm almost finished. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, it's just a few verses in here. Verse 10, according to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, this is Paul talking, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. Now listen to this. This is not my opinion. This is what the Bible says. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. If your life is not being built on Jesus Christ, your house is coming down. You got nothing. You say, well, I got money in portfolio. It ain't going to work. You may figure out a way to survive here. You will die and be lost forever. The only foundation is Jesus. You say, well, what if, you know, that's not very politically, I already told you I don't care about that. I didn't write this stuff. This is what is in the scriptures. It's either true or it's not. I believe it's true, so I'm going to tell you that. You don't have to agree, but this is what it says. No other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation, and he gives some building materials with gold, silver, precious stones, it's good till then. Then he says, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet as though through fire. This is written to Christians. So here's where the three little pigs comes in. What are you building with? Well, I'm building a cute little house out of hay. Hey, it ain't gonna work. Or I could have said, hey, but that was not as good. So you build it with hay. And the big bad wolf comes along and he huffs and puffs. And you know what? He blows your house down. You say, well, that's not what this is talking about. Your house will survive the fire and you will be rewarded or not accordingly when you get to heaven. But your life is going to go differently based on the kind of house you build. Because the same enemy that seeks whom he may devour running around here, he comes to your house and he huffs and puffs and blows on your house and it just disintegrates. Hey, sticks. You say, well, sticks are stronger. It's not enough. Gold, silver, precious stones, build with something that lasts. So when the big bad wolf comes to your house and he huffs and puffs, he can't blow your house down. And you go, wow, this is crazy. I'm winning. My house is safe. Exactly. Figure this out in your life, your family. Everything can go differently. You say, well, I'm having all this fun and I get into trouble when I go, you know, I crater and I come back. Enough already of this craziness. Highs and lows and highs and lows. Just get high on him and stay high.
Richard will be back in a moment to wrap up today's talk. But first, I want to share a couple of thoughts with you. Let's be honest. Real life isn't about living some highlight reel for others to see. Most people have deep hurts, questions, and struggles. Well, we get it, and we want to help you in any way we can. So let's keep this conversation going. You can give us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD or connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. You can even put in your prayer request right there on the prayer wall. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD or online at richardellistalks.com. And now let's get back to Richard with a final word on today's show.
Last one is 1 Peter chapter 5. In verse 1, and here he writes, the elders who are among you, I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. This is what he tells them. Shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, not as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. There has to be leadership in place. And people ask you, they say, do you have women elders? We do not have women elders. Do we have anything against women? No. We cannot find it in the book, so we're not doing it. Okay? You say, oh my gosh, who would say that out loud? You find it and we'll talk about it. It's not in here. Men are supposed to lead. You say, well, I don't like that. I'm going to go find a church. Let me tell you something. You got to stop reacting to crap that you hear. If someone tells you something that's true, well, I'm going to go find somewhere where they think it the way I think it. You need to ask God where you're supposed to be and get your butt in there and just submit. Enough running around on your whimsy. You know, people say, well, I don't like what's going on in this church. I'm going to take my money and take it somewhere else. It's not your money. It's not your church. You climb in a closet somewhere and go, Lord, I'm having trouble with this. I'm struggling with this. If the Holy Spirit tells you to get in a church, you get in there. Well, I don't agree with anything they say. If you can't find it in the Bible to contradict what they're saying, then it's just a personal thing. Just do what he's telling you to do. He might change you and it might be for the better. This politically correct mess is wearing my butt completely out. I am so sick of this. And what'll make you crazy about it is you go to church and you'll read the Bible and go, well, they said that and it's all watered down. They're trying to make, then you don't even respect the people that are leading you because they won't cut to the chase. I'm not trying to be mean. It's okay to believe the truth.
Thanks for tuning in today to Richard Ellis Talks. With the busy schedule everyone has these days, it means the world to us that you would take this time to listen. Let us know how it has touched your heart by calling us at 855-6-RICHARD. You can also connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. One last thing, Richard Ellis Talks is a daily program, but also has daily costs. And being a listener-supported program means we rely on the financial partnership of our listeners, which means you. Maybe you've given to this ministry before or have waited for the right time. Well, we believe that these talks with Richard are making a difference in your life. So this is how you can make a difference to ours. You can contribute by giving us a call at 855-6-RICHARD or at our website, richardellistalks.com. Thank you for your very generous gifts. It truly means so much to us. God bless, and thanks for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.